Was music a part of your life?
I think it became a part of my life as I got older, certainly my teenage years. My mother wanted me to take piano lessons, I remember, and I took exactly 5 lessons. I had to walk by the school playground on my way to the lessons, and I got teased a lot by my friends or kids in the playground. In high school, in junior high, I signed up for a band, and I wanted to play the trumpet, I think, or drums, and I wound up being given a trombone. Didn't care much for it. I wish now that I would have stuck with it, but I played trombone for, I think, 4 years and never got any better at it. It was 4th trombone from the beginning to the end. Marched in the band, though, played in concerts, that sort of thing, when I was freshman and sophomore in high school. But it never carried on as far as playing music. But I certainly developed a love of music. And actually, in my teenage years, when rock and roll was just really coming on the scene, I was very much into jazz. And the record stores in Rhinelander, I think record store in Rhinelander, of course, at that time, we went from the 45 to the 33 vinyl long play records, and there was such a limited supply that you kind of took what you could get. And I would save money up to go and buy an album, but I had a little collection of jazz albums that I would listen to over and over and over again. And then as I got older, I got into more of the folk, and then folk rock, and then all different types of music. Yes, music very important to me, but unfortunately I never learned to play, so I'm strictly an observer when it comes to that.
Where did you play those vinyl records?
Well, I had a little record player. It was sort of a portable record player, I guess, and we had a little sunroom in the house on Dahl Street in Rhinelander. And I would sit in this sunroom with that record player, and I would play the music there. And I do remember my father wanted to know why in the world I was listening to this raspy voice of Bob Dylan, because I would play Bob Dylan all day long if I could get away with it. And I even rigged up I can't remember where I got this, but I found some kind of a kit, electronic kit, that you build an inverter, which will take your DC car battery and convert it over to alternating current, and I could plug in my record player in this thing, and so it would take it to the beach and park the car, of course this is in my teenage years, and play music out of the trunk of my car. Long before 8-tracks and cassette and CDs and all that technology.
Did you have pets as a child?
Yes, we had a dog. His name was Caddy. I think the story goes the dog was given to my mother. My parents played golf, and she was at the golf course. I don't know where they played. This was in, I was probably 4 or 5 years old at the time, and one of the caddies at the country club gave my mother this stray dog that had come onto the course, and they named it Caddy, and it was our family pet for many, many years, but I have no clue what happened to that dog.
What did the dog look like? What was your relationship to Caddy?
Well, any kid, I like my dog. Seems like a lot of photographs that I've seen, and there's not a ton of them, but the photographs I see back in that period of time, the dog was in the photographs. She was sort of a mutt mongrel. She looked sort of like a collie, a small collie of some sort.
What were your favorite foods as a child, and where did you eat your meals? What were family meals like?
Well, my favorite, of course, again, my mother was a good cook, and my favorite meal were things like she'd do a pork roast, and then pork roast and always meant that we were going to have some applesauce and come to discover later, I have a pretty significant sweet tooth. So the applesauce was very appealing to me, along with this pork roast dinner. And she always make it with all the trimmings. We ate as a family around the table, around a dining room table. Of course, I remember the evening meal more than I would lunch or breakfast. I think breakfast was basically taken as a table in the kitchen. I just sit and eat cereal or whatever. But the evening meal was an event. But as I got older, and my brother and sister moved on, as they matured and got on with their own lives, became adults, I was, like I said, more of a single child. And I would, in the later years, spend time eating leftovers, I guess. I think that's the first time I ate something called a TV dinner back in those years.
Was that ever eaten in front of television?
Not like we think of it today. The TV we had was in a... You know, we didn't have a TV in the living room. We had it in a viewing room. We had sort of a den area, and that's where the TV was kept. I never remember having a television in the living room, but I could be completely wrong about that.
Do you have any early memories of John? He was quite a bit older.
Yeah, he was quite a bit older. I can tell you that, you know, he's my big brother, and I've always looked up to my brother. He was, you know, always in sort of, because of his age, he was somebody that I would emulate, because he was interested in so many things. He was an Eagle Scout. He, you know, I remember him becoming initiated into a thing called the Order of the Arrow, which meant this big event at this Boy Scout camp. And of course, we lived in the North Woods, and there was a lot of, seemed to be a lot of emphasis around Native American lore and within that scouting experience. He was into that. I remember him making different, like, headdresses and whatnot for, you know, his scouting events. And those are the things I remember the most as we were growing up. And then there's a significant gap where he would come and visit from time to time, but I really didn't have a relationship with him until later, you know, as I matured more and became more of my own person. I remember visiting him when I had joined the Navy when I was 20, and somehow I went down to visit him. He was living in Beloit, Wisconsin at the time, and he was had I think it was the time that Chris was born, his third child, and I just remember, you know, those boys when they were young, but I was, you know, I had no clue about what was going on. I was, you know, into my own world, and but he was always, my brother was always the one that I had admired the most, I guess. You know, I guess just the nature, by the nature of the fact he was my big brother.
Do you feel that perhaps you had different families because families change so much over not that long of a period of time?
I feel that way, sure. I feel that his experience growing up was significantly different than mine. He had, you know, two siblings in the house when he was going through grade school, high school, college, those experiences, where I was, again, pretty much, as I got into high school, I was pretty much a single child. I mean, a only child. And my parents by this time were socially active. They played a lot of bridge and did a lot of, you know, weekend events where they would, I guess, go to dinner parties or invited to people's homes, which meant that I was left to my own devices, basically. And it was a generational thing, too, I think, in society. You know, things were changing pretty quickly. We went from a simpler, kind of an innocent time of the 50s into the turmoil of the 60s. And I was definitely the child of the 60s. I started high school in 1960, and I got married in 1970. So, you know, those 10 years were high school, a couple of years of college, 4 years in the Navy, came to San Francisco Bay Area in 1967, the Summer of Love, all that stuff had a pretty big influence on me. Whereas my brother didn't have that kind of stuff going on. His was much more traditional in nature. He wasn't affected, I think, at that personal level by the events of the day.